Blog Talk Radio.
Bye. Your faithfulness and love you show to me. for your goodness and your kindness. Your faithfulness and love you show to me. Forgive me when I fall, you pick me up. Your mercy is ever new. More, 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 get to Christmas more. Everybody let your voice say, more, 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 get to Christmas more. The more, 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 get more, more, for all that you have done, say,
for all that you have done,
and all that you will do,
all that you will do,
more, more, more,
more, more, more, more, get to Christmas more.
Thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this day, Jesus. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for blessing us, oh God, with a new day. Thank you, Father God, for allowing us to enter in this day with a heart of thanksgiving and a mouth full of praise, oh God. We ask you, God, to forgive us of our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask you to come in this morning. We ask you to come in. We invite you to come in our midst, O God, for truly this is the day that you made, Jesus. We are glorifying you. We are honoring you right now with everything that we say and everything that we do, Lord. God, Lord Jesus, have your way right now. We need you, oh God. We need you like never before, God. We need you more than ever, Lord. We ask you, oh God, to touch us today. Oh, Father, let your omnipotent presence be here with us, Lord. You are the great I am. Father, we pray for President Trump, Lord. We ask you, to God, to rest your arms upon him. Lord, touch him in a special way. Touch him in a special way, Lord. We ask you to protect him against all the people that are coming against him in the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, whatever party there is that are coming against him, oh God. We ask you to shield him. He's the only one that is fighting for our nation. He's the only one that is fighting for us as a people, oh God. We pray, Father God, that you set forth angels, our angel Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, all the warriors of heaven to fight for this man, oh God, to protect him even as you protect Daniel. Oh God, you said we should pray for all those in authority. Lord, we pray for President Biden, oh God, that you would wake up his senses, oh God, as he endeavored to destroy this country, oh God. We ask you to wake him up to reality, O God, for all the things that he is doing, he and his administration, to bring our country lower than any other country, O God. He is endeavoring that, he is making his plan to destroy our nation, O God. We pray, Father God, for him now and for his cabinet members. And if they don't want to protect this nation, God, we ask you to move them from their position, oh God. Remove them and put somebody else in the position, oh God, that care for this country, that care for the people, oh God. We ask you this, Lord God. You know how to judge. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, Lord. I don't have to tell you. I can't tell you how to judge, oh God. You know how to judge. You know how to judge the quick and the dead, oh God. Lord God, so I ask you, oh God, to look upon us, oh God. Look upon us, oh God. Lord, don't give us what we deserve, but give us what we need. Oh, God, we all need salvation. We all need mercy. We all need grace, oh, God. So, Father, we ask you to extend grace, your grace and your mercy upon the Democratic and upon the Republicans' party, oh, God. But all of them are corrupt. All of them have corruption inside them because all they think about is money, oh, God. And we ask you, God, to forgive them, oh, God. Forgive them even as you forgive us, O God. And Lord, we are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor. Lord, we ask you now to bless this word. My body is very, very tired. I worked yesterday, and I had to go pick up my granddaughter. Oh, excuse me. Pick up my granddaughter from her job. But she's home from college, and she's back to her old job. You know, they wanted her back. You know, they love her. She did a fine job. And we ask you, God, to energize me because I got to pick up again tonight after 11 o'clock. So, Lord, we ask you to give me the endurance I need, Lord. Let me get some rest after this program. And then I can pick her up and drive safely together. We're talking. This is part two of the message. The Gospel of Yeshua, and we're coming out of Acts chapter 25, verse 23 to 26. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We did a part of this early this week, and we will do chapter 1 again, 1 Corinthians, and we go from verse 18 to 31. Then we're going to go to Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 to 17, and then we might hit a couple more scriptures, but that's where we're going to be for today. next time I come back, I might go into the book of Ruth and see what Ruth is saying to us. Okay, let's go to this, Acts chapter 25, in the precious name of Jesus. Acts 25. The Lord is my shepherd. It's Psalm 23. I shall not lack anything. He is my Lord. Because he's my Lord, I want for nothing. Glory to God, glory to God. Acts 25. And you are, when you make a decision to serve the Lord, you're going to be tested and you're going to be tried. There's no if or buts about it. So Acts 25 and 23, let's start there. And it speaks about Paul. Paul is going through a lot of trials because of ease. And we always say to us that we're going to go through trials too because of who we are and who we is. We are Christians and we belong to Christ Jesus. This is the reason why we are going to be tried and tested. But we want to be like pure gold when they test us, that they don't find anything in us. Because we all have flaws, but we don't want that when the enemy comes, when Satan comes in and tests us and tries us, that he can say he finds something in us that belongs to him. So he have the right to do whatever he do. No, we don't want him to have that. So here in the book of Acts, chapter 25, Paul is being tested. You know, he's no longer working for the Jews. He's no longer working for the Sanhedrin. He's no longer working for the Romans. He is working for Christ himself. Christ is his boss. Christ is his overseer. Christ is his principal. Christ is his everything. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the same way we got to be. We got to become known without a shadow of doubt that we belong to Christ, that we work for him. We do what he say do. We don't do what we want to do. We do what he say do. He commissioned us to carry this gospel. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the call is to carry the gospel, not to fool around. Hallelujah. So here in this book, it says that. So the next day, Agrippa and Bernice arrived at the auditorium with great pomp. They were excited, accompanied by military officers and prominent men of the city. Festus ordered that Paul be brought in. Then Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are here, this is the man whose death is demanded by all the Jews, both here and in Jerusalem. But in my opinion, he has done nothing deserving death. However, since he appealed his case to the emperor, I have decided to send him to Rome. But what shall I write the emperor? For there is no clear charge against him. So I have brought him before all of you, and especially you, King Agrippa, so that after we examine him, we might have something to write. For it makes no sense to send a prisoner to the emperor without specifying the charges against him. No. They brought Paul in. Remember, he was Saul when he was persecuting the church. But now God has transformed him. He has given him a new name. God has given us new names. Hallelujah. And we don't have the same old name. But as he come before the board of inspectors, when he come before the court, the court, the Justice Department, when he comes before the judge. No, they can't find anything wrong. They can't find any problem. Remember when Jesus was arrested and taken into the judgment hall, and he had to go before Pontius Pilate. Pilate is a governor. He is an overseer. He is a representative for the Roman government. Well, he had looked Jesus up, down, sideways, crossways, every which way that he could check Jesus out for what the Jews had accused him of, just like the Jews here in this chapter accusing Paul of spreading misinformation. But he says, after looking, after investigating, after checking him out, after examining, he could find no fault. And that's what Pilate says. He said, after checking out Jesus, he said, he washed his hand clean. He said, I'm free from the guilt of this man, from any charge of this man. He said, because I can't find no fault. And they could find no fault. Paul was just preaching the gospel. See, when you make a decision to preach the truth, the people are going to come against you. This is why a lot of Christians are not preaching the truth. A lot of them are preaching the half truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not here judging anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. A lot of them are just preaching half truth because they don't want the world to say anything about them. They don't want the world to judge them. They're in sync. They want to be in agreement with the world. Most of them are in agreement with the world. They have big auditoriums. They have enough people to have 3-4 services, but they're not preaching the full truth, you know. And then even some Christians, so-called, I call them half Christians, when you come up against and you hear, well, Bishop so-and-so or Apostle so-and-so or Elder so-and-so is not preaching the true gospel, they'll get mad with you because they're in agreement with this bishop or this apostle that's preaching the half truth because he is in agreement with their lifestyle. He is in agreement with their lifestyle. So they don't want you to talk about them. I was listening to Bishop, what's his name? Anyway, I'll get his name and I'll write down his name, Doc. I can't remember his name. But he's from Georgia, too. He got a very big church. And he's exposing Jamal Brandt. Because he got the big church, know that Bishop Long used to have over there in Georgia. Big, big mega church. I mean, they have so many thousands of people going to the church. And they bought up so much land when Bishop Long was the bishop, was alive. You know, he died from AIDS, having sex with all these young boys and men, all these bishops that, all these people in the church that turning, they can preach the gospel with such power. You know, Then they didn't even know have a fling or make an error. You know, if somebody have a maybe get intoxicated and sleep with another man or woman sleep with a woman, well, it's just a fling, it's just a mistake to make that under intoxication or whatever it is. But if they keep on committing the homosexual act, that's not a mistake. That's not an error, that's what you like. See, you do it all the time. So when he was sick, they was trying to say that he was dying from cancer. But cancer don't do you that bad. Not like that. I mean, that really took him down in real fast. AIDS took him down fast. So this Jamal Brand, he leave a little church, a big pretty mega church too, not as big as this one, that he was pastoring over in Baltimore. So he goes over now because they now got a big bank account. They have millions and millions of dollars in the bank. Plus, they have all this land that they bought up in Georgia and other places. So they wanted him because he's a very articulate pastor. He knows how to move the scriptures. He know how to preach. He know how to preach with a ha. You know, and he know how to hoop and holler. He preached the gospel so eloquent that you are moved, even if you didn't like the gospel when he preached you. You said, man, this brother can preach. Well, I was moved with him, but, you know, moving by somebody preaching is not what it's all it takes. All it is that you're getting a word of God that's going to draw you closer to God, a word that's going to convict you to want to live for God. You understand? See, when once Paul became Saul became Paul and he had an encounter with Jesus, on his way to Damascus, his life changed. And he went and met Ananias, and Ananias, the prophet, a priest, he laid hands on him, and the skins dropped off his eyes because he was blind for 3 days. You know, that tree is very significant. You got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You got 3 days. Jesus was in the grave 3 days. You know, there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible pertaining to this tree as a number, as a very prophetic, divine number. Now, Paul was blind for 3 days. After 3 days, he became on fire for God, and you couldn't stop him. He said, if I die, I die. But I'm going to die for Christ. He said, I'm going to live for him, I'm going to die for him. He said, because we absent from the body, we present with the Lord. So he preached this gospel, and he preached it with such tenacity that people were getting saved. People were getting delivered. You understand? Churches was coming together. All the mistakes and errors that churches was doing, when Paul come and preached to them and brought correction, they were changing. They were taking the correction because he spent time with them when he corrected them. And you know what, we know, we talked about that last week, that the Corinthian church was full of flaws. They were full of flaws. They was fussing and complaining about this and about that, and they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, and so a whole lot of confusion was in the church, and Paul had to come and bring some corrections. Let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, there is none like you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I saw this in another book. Let me see if this is the one that I want to come with. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to the Lamb. Let's come out the living. Let's come out the Amplifier. The Amplifier. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let us start at verse 18. And Paul says, for the story and message of the cross is sheer absurdity and folly to those who are perishing on their way to perdition. Fruitless, void, to perdition. Let's read that again. For the story or message of the cross is sheer absurdity and folly to those who are perishing and are on their way to perdition. But to us who are being saved, it is the manifestation of the power of God. Now, Paul said this thing very clear, made it clear for us as believers, okay? The gospel, when folk that are not saved, you look all through, you in Mississippi, you in Texas, you in Tennessee, you in New Orleans, you in Slidell, Louisiana, you in Boston, Massachusetts, in Philadelphia, in New Jersey, in New York City, in Virginia, in South Carolina, North Carolina. See, they just had an earthquake North Carolina, and a couple of people got killed. Said it was a bad earthquake. So you hear the gospel, but you don't believe, because to you it's foolishness. You don't know him. You don't have a relationship with him. Let's read it out the King James Version. We're gonna work with these scriptures back and forth, but we got stuff that we got to work with. Hear what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that talk about the unsaved, that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. See, we know the truth. When you know the truth, the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. For the Son is the truth. The Bible also says in the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you get to know him, you know the truth. When you get to know the Word, you know the truth, because he's the Word. The Word is a lamp and a light unto my feet. See, the Word is what keeps me going. The Word is what directs my path. Hallelujah. Without the Word, I'm walking in darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is what he said. Let's go on in the Amplified. Verse 19. For it is written, I will baffle and render useless and destroy the learning of the learned and the philosophy of the philosophers and the cleverness of the clever and the discernment of the discerning. I will frustrate and nullify them and bring them to nothing. Listen to what he says, how he says it. And I like that in the Amplified. But I got to give you this so you get a clear understanding here in the King James Version. Verse 19. He said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Those that think that they got it all together. They think that they're so smart. They're so intelligent. You know, I was studying the Bible this morning, leaning on the bed tired. And as I was studying, the Lord said that. He said to me that most of the people, he said the majority of the people that reject in him are people who are supposed to be well-educated. But because they're well-educated, they become foolish. Because they don't know the truth. What truth they know is the truth of man, man's truth, the worldly truth. But, excuse me, but we know God's truth. And because we know God's truth, we are endeavoring and we are eager to do better. We're trying to do better every day. Listen to what it says, verse 20. Amplify. Where is the wise man, the philosopher? Where is the scribe, the scholar? Where is the investigator, the logician, the debater of this present time and age? How has not God shown up the nonsense and the folly of this world wisdom? What he's saying is that God exposed all the things that they thought was so great in their own physical, natural sense. God exposed. In the King James, he says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? God has exposed them all. And more exposing is coming. Hallelujah. Because when he showed up in all his glory, all of this ignorance and these wise people that think they have overcome something or they have the winning hand, they're going to realize they don't have the winning hand. Because why? Their sin is going to cause them to end up in hell. Because they choose not to believe. Matter of fact, they have put it out, playing out. They even put the banners, put the tattoos on their body. They even put the prints on them. They even carrying placards saying that they don't care for Jesus. They tell you that they want to go to hell. They can't wait to go to hell. Like they think there's a party going on in hell. There's no party. All is going on in hell is torment. Listen, there's no cabaret in hell. There's no disc jockey. There's no spare ribs. There's no hamburgers. There's no fried chicken, no fried fish. There's none of the good stuff that we have in here. It's not down there. There's not a drop of water, cold water. Not a drop of regular water. You ever hear the saying, hell is hot as hell? Well, it's hot. There's no cooling down there. There's all torment, day in and day out. It tells you that in the book of Revelation. Hear what he says, verse 21. King James Version. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. No, no, no. See, they're preaching to some, to those that don't believe is foolishness. But it's still, it pleased God to really release this word. And those that believe, even though they didn't know, they had no understanding of the gospel, but they believed after hearing the gospel, they were saved. They accepted Christ. I never thought that I would be saved. I grew up in the church, but the church was never me in the church building. I was going because my mama wanted me to go to church. But after I came to America and I was smoking the cocaine and smoking marijuana, drinking alcohol and drinking corn liquor and all that stuff I was drinking. You know, anything that would change my mood because I wanted to fit in. I thought if I fit in, I would be all right. But I didn't know that it was even setting me further away from God, you know, trying to fit in. But after going through some trials and tribulations and had to go into treatment facility and somebody prayed for me, a man that is going home to be with the Lord, his name is Nate Griffith. He was an elder in the church. He lived at Salvation Army. He died at Salvation Army. He had no family. He prayed for me one day in the sanctuary. And when he prayed for me in the sanctuary, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior that day. And my life was never the same. To me, it was foolishness because I didn't understand all that he was saying. I thought he was just going to pray for me. As he held my hand, he said, "Can I pray for you?" We sit down in the sanctuary at Salvation Army. And I say, yeah, you know, I never refuse prayer because I believe in prayer. Even though I wasn't saved. I was in there for treatment because I couldn't go home. My family didn't want me back home. And when he held my hand, he began to rehearse the scriptures from his spirit man. All that he had studied, like 2 Timothy 2:15. He began to bring up all the scriptures and tell me about the love of Jesus Christ. And I was sitting there, and as he began to pray, and he talks about Romans 10:9-11, and he read the scriptures out of his spirit to me. And he began to tell me about how much Christ loved me. And he told me something that was phenomenal. He said, "Brother Dave, if you were the only one on the earth, Christ would have come down from glory and come in here in time just to give you an opportunity to be saved." And I started weeping. I was weeping profusely. I just couldn't stop. And all that he was saying in the natural was like foolishness to me because I didn't understand all that he was saying. But I decided that I would take a chance. I said, "Yes, I want that. I want to be saved." Because in my little mind, I thought that if I accept this Jesus that he's talking about, that I'll be able to overcome my drug addiction and I would get my family back. But little did I know that God had a plan for my life. Hallelujah. And I couldn't go back to the old life. Don't matter how much I wanted to, because the devil is never finished with you. The devil never gives up on you, don't care how long you've been saved. He's still going to try to get you. But I decided, he said, "If you want this thing," he said, "Brother Dave, you're going to have to go after it." And I got a Bible. I got a King James Bible, which I lost in Virginia. I was helping this old lady. She had one leg. And I was helping her in the car. She had diabetes and lose one of her legs. And I tell you something, I put my Bible up top of the car and forgot we got to talk. And she says, she always called me. She says, "Son, I just love how you're always ready to help people." And I was talking to her, and I loved that Bible because it was a large print. And it was so easy for me. I didn't need glasses with it. I got it. Somebody had donated to Salvation Army. That was the one the Bible gave me when I was there. And I lost that, but somebody who will find it that they use that Bible. And I realized that after the car had gone, her daughter had come to pick her from the church. And I leave my Bible on top of the car. But this is showing what the foolishness, and this is what God is saying here. But here, back we hear in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, talking about the gospel of Yeshua, or gospel of Jesus Christ, part 2. Here, we start at verse 18. We read Acts chapter 2, verse 23 to 26, talking about Paul going into the judgment hall and being tried for preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And they could find no fault of Paul, just like they could find no fault of Jesus when he went before Pontius Pilate. Hallelujah. So here in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 21 says, "For when the world with all its earthly wisdom failed to perceive and recognize and know God by means of its own philosophy, God in his wisdom was pleased through the foolishness of preaching. Salvation procured by Christ and to be had through him, to save those who believe, who clung to and trusted in and relied on him." See, God, doesn't matter who you are, when you reach out to him, as he reached out to you, he'll receive you. God's hands is always stretched out for the lost. Always. I was talking, we were doing a job yesterday, and my friend was there. He was telling me, he said, there's so much people praying for his son. But these people worked some witchcraft on his son. And this man had stuff done to his son, to this other man's son, my friend's son. Of course, he didn't want his daughter to be messing with my friend's son. This guy has 3 or 4 degrees. He's only 24 years old. He was playing in football. And jealousy, you know, all people that come sometimes can be so jealous. I'm talking us as a race of people, can be so jealous. And he had been school with some people from Trinidad and Jamaica. And this man was, you can call him a warlock. And he was jealous of my friend's son, from what they tell me. And so they conjure up all this stuff to have demons in this guy. So my friend was telling me yesterday, you know, you sometimes you hear this stuff. I mean, I know it happened because in the company I've seen it for myself, you know. And he took him to one of those people that can do the word is not coming to the top of my head. They put on this seance to get rid of this person. The man says, he said, well, he couldn't do it that day. This weekend they're going to take him back to the man. But the man, when the man saw him, out of questions come up yesterday on the job, his father told me, he said, can you take a few minutes? Let me tell you what. We took Javon to this man. And he says the man was telling him stuff. He said, everything you have told me, Apostle, this man have told me about my son. He never met my son before. I never met him before. But I was telling him something that the Lord was showing me about his son. But the man told him, he said, your son has 3 demons living inside of him. And then he told him the type of demons that is living inside of him. He said, one of the demons is very fierce. He's not going to want to leave. He said, but we have to do this work in order for your son to be free. Now, there's one demon that he has in him that is he's a demon that is very possessive. He said he don't want to leave. So the son had one of these church orders on him that he was not supposed to see this man's daughter. But the boy knew they got this decree on him he still called, text the girl, called her. So she called the police and said he texted her and called her. They went by the house arrest. He's in jail right now. And so now they're going to have to take him once you get him out. I think he's going today to try to get a bail for him to get him out. He never got in trouble before, so he should be able to get him out of his own recognizance. And they're going to take him to this man. And they're going to do whatever you call it. I forgot the name. You know, I don't know too much about the witchcraft stuff, but they got these titles, you know, like they do this big old stuff they get around and wash him down and sprinkle stuff on him and burn this and burn that and all that. A lot of stuff got to go. But I tell him, I said, what your son need to do is that whatever they're doing now, he need to accept Christ, Jesus Christ, and he need to get in the Word of God. Give God a chance. Give God a chance. Because he cussed at God and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? He's a young man. And the devil inside of him have him cussing at God. You know, like God is doing all this stuff to him. He got master degree, he got PhD, he got all type of stuff. He's a great football player, would play with some team, but the man that put all this stuff on him, juju on him, caused them to fire him from the football team. Went over to Las Vegas with all the football team and over there. And when he got over there, things got out of hand. You know? So, glory to God. But let's go back in the scripture. This gospel is so powerful that when you teach it and preach it, and people's spiritual ears become open, because if their ears are not open, they're not going to hear it. This is why there's so many people. I watch them here in Boston now, man. This thing is so bad. Oh, Lord Jesus. It like you better want to teach your find time to teach your grandkids and your great grandkids and your kids if you got little kids, teach them yourself. You know, from the White House to the schoolhouse, the outhouse, everything is messed up. You know, they got the homosexuals, they got the drag queens in the White House. They got them going to the schools and putting on all this teaching from the drag queen books, the homosexual books, but they can't do a prayer in the school. They don't even say the Pledge of the Allegiance to the flag anymore. But they're talking about homosexual. They're teaching about the Muslims, about Allah and all this kind of stuff, but they can't teach about Jesus. You understand? Because the world is getting at that place. We get upset and we get angry because we know the truth. But the Bible tells us all this stuff going to happen. It said that when a man is fall away, he's fall away by his, when he depart from the scripture, in the word of God, he depart, fall away by his own lust and entice. So things are enticing them that they don't want to hear the gospel. So the gospel, when they hear the gospel, it's foolishness. They can't talk, they don't tolerate it. They tell you straight up, the man was on there telling the people yesterday about Jesus. And this white man coming and say, man, you preaching hate. He come and ask the preacher, he says, do you believe in homosexuals, that two men can love each other? And the preacher said, no, they can call it love, but it's not love according to God's way. And he said, the man just got mad. He went in the preacher's face, I mean, right up in his face. Like he wanted to fight. I was saying to myself, man, if he had a weapon, he probably would stop that preacher or shoot that preacher. He was getting angry because they don't want to believe what we believe, but they want us to believe what they believe and what they're doing. We don't hate you, homosexual, lesbian, gangbanger, dope pressure. We don't hate you. We love you. But we hate what you're doing because we know if you continue doing what you're doing, you're going to end up in hell. And we don't want you to go to hell. That's the reason why we're teaching you this stuff. This is why we preach about Jesus, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. You can't get where you need to get without him. You say you don't believe in heaven or hell, but I'll tell you something, you will see it. If you don't live for heaven, you're going to hell. And it's real. Torment is real according to this manuscript I have in my hand. Here in the book of Corinthians, he says, oh, Jesus. Let's read back verse 21 in the Amplify. He says, where is the wise man, the philosopher? This is the smart guy. These with all the wisdom. Where is the scribe, the scholar? Where is the investigator, the logician, the debater of the present time and age? Has not God shown up the nonsense and the folly of this world wisdom? God exposed it. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. This word has a way of working itself into the heart of man, the one that has an ear to hear. For when the world with all its earthly wisdom fails to perceive and recognize and know God by means of its own philosophy, God in his wisdom was pleased through the foolishness of preaching salvation procured by Christ and to be had through him to save those who believe, who clung to and trusted in and relied on him. See, this salvation come through Christ. Tells you right here. This salvation that God has desired for all men to receive. This gift, this relief, this freedom from sin is through Christ Jesus. It's right here in this verse. He says, who procured by Christ and to be had through him. While Jews demandingly ask for signs and miracles and Greeks pursue philosophy and wisdom, we preach Christ, the Messiah, crucified, preaching which to the Jews is a scandal and an offense, stumbling block that springs a snare or trap, and to the Gentiles, it was absurd and utterly philosophically nonsense. See, some folk are just, they want to see a sign. They want to see miracles. Hallelujah. This is why they say that this Antichrist, when he comes, and they say that, excuse me, there are many Antichrists in the earth now. But they say when the true Antichrist comes, which is true, but when the fake one comes, because they fake, he's not real. But when he comes, he's going to perform signs and wonders, and he's going to deceive many. Many going to believe that he's the Messiah, the true Messiah. Hallelujah. But he's a counterfeit. This is why we have to study the word constantly, so that when we see certain things, we can say, yes, that's what God said in the word. He said men will become lovers of themselves. They will forsake the things that are right and cling to the things that are wrong. And we see that. That's happening in Romans chapter 1. Women were women and men were men. God told us this in the book. Even before we saw it, it was plain down in the book. So why are we acting so surprised? God just said, look, this stuff going to happen. Hallelujah. They're going to reject me. Hallelujah. They're going to reject my way of doing things. And we have people today wide open in the open square in the marketplace. They said, I'm not interested in no Jesus stuff. That's what they tell you. Say it to your face. I was in the church preaching here, and the man told me, he said, man, I come to church, I give a tithe, I give an offering. He said, I'm not interested in no Holy Ghost. He said, I'm good enough. But the Bible says you need the Holy Ghost. And when you get baptized, you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost, what the Holy Ghost does is the Holy Ghost brings correction to us, all of us. When we have bad thinking, he corrects us. When our actions are bad, he corrects us. Whenever we think about doing something, he says, no, don't do that, son. Don't do that, daughter. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He shows us the right way. Hallelujah.
He's the light of God living on the inside of us. Let's go a little further on this thing here. Hallelujah. He says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Folk can't understand it. They don't want to understand it. Because the gospel requires examination, inventory. It requires us and them to take inventory of ourselves, examine our own hearts, look and see if we truly can enter in when he comes, as I am. So we know that where I was before, where we were before, we couldn't enter in. But we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we submit and commit to his way and to his will. So we feel confidently in our hearts. We feel confident in our hearts that we would go back with him when he comes. Not because he's so great. But we are studying and we are asking him to help us to walk that path, that way that he wants us to walk, that we need to walk so we can go back with him. And each day that we study, and each day that we do, he's perfecting us each day. He's taking us from faith to faith, and from glory to glory in him. Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. Each day we study. He said, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Listen. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to come from the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to come from the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. You know, sometimes people see, and I'm in a different city, or even to a city that I was before I came here. If I go to Maryland, Prince George's County, Washington, D.C., or Virginia, and folk that know me when I was running the streets and stuff, and they didn't know that I got saved and that God brought me into ministry, when they see me or hear me preaching and teaching the gospel, they'd be amazed. The guy, he passed away. He was younger man, and he passed away. But when he saw me in the church building, he says, "They got David." Man, his eyes was bigger than my head, cause he thought he saw a ghost, because my lifestyle was wretched. And when he saw me, he told his mama, "Ain't that David?" She said, "Yeah, he's a minister in the church." And he was asking how long he went here and all this, because he didn't see me for a while. And he didn't know that I'd given my life to Christ. And that was many years. And he was moved to see me on the altar teaching by the power of God. God used me and nobody to tell anybody about somebody who could change their life, the foolish things of the world. He says, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. See, if you're going to boast in the Lord, not in yourself. I got preachers, I got friends, I got associates that have doctorate degrees in theology. And I know sometimes you can see the stuff on their face, because they don't want me. Sometimes, you know, you get comfortable with a brother or sister. You say, well, how you doing, John? How you doing, Peter? How you doing, Harry? You know, you forget that they're doctor, apostle, bishop, whatever. But they want you to call them all of this stuff before you even call in me. Man, Lord, you know that I'm saying, I know where we get between the people, we can give the respect that is due. Give the respect. But when we together, we can call each other Harry and John and James. I ain't seen that wrong with that. But say, no. No, I'm a doctor, apostle, this body calendar. Man, cut that foolishness up. But then when the people catch you not living, see, like this fellow here, see, this bishop name. He's on YouTube now. He got so many videos on. Man, he's the one. He tore up Beyonce and all them people that giving their sword to the devil. Well, I know people are making some things are coming up his name is Bishop Wooden. Bishop Wooden. He's out of Georgia. Powerful teacher of the Word of God. And they're talking about Bishop Jamal Brand from out of, he's out of came out of Baltimore, and he lives in Georgia. He takes over the church from Bishop Long after he died. They called him in, you know, to take, because he's a very prolific preacher. But you know, the thing is not so much about being prolific. We just read the scripture. Jesus used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the weak things to confound those things that are mighty. You know, is to be committed to God. Doesn't matter how much degrees and how well you can preach the gospel. If you don't live the gospel, you go, instead of really helping people, it's going to hurt people even more. Because once people say, well, Bishop Long, he was a good preacher. He was a good preacher. But when people find out that he was living a promiscuous lifestyle and that he was sleeping with little boys and with other bishops and stuff like that, you know, people start leaving the church. The church is still big. Because, you know, you got people that have itchy ears that are going to stay in that mess. They're going to stay under that teaching, that preaching. They're going to stay in there even though they know that Satan is running the house. And they ain't going to get from underneath it. Because, you know, all that stuff comes down from the head down to the body. So we have to be careful. And now they're talking with Jamal. He wants to plant. He wants the church to buy. The church already got the land. They've got more land. He said the church owns more land here than other churches. And he wants to bring in people to plant the ground, plant marijuana, you know. And then they're going to have people in there inside the church. They're going to have offices inside the church selling the marijuana in the bags. You know, they're going to get licensed to sell marijuana. They'll have their own herb shops. So the church become a drug dealing outfit, you know. So this bishop here has cut them up. Well, maybe we got so much stuff going on right now with Bill Gates and all that, trying to plant food with full of GMOs to mess up people's blood. If the church has all this land, why can't the church plant some okra and some spinach and plant some cucumbers and melons and all this kind of stuff? Plant stuff that can help the people's lives, save lives, give the people stuff, food, corn. That's what Bishop was telling. Why would you got to go plant marijuana? The church already got plenty money. You got three services a day. Church is so big. But greed. See, because that's one of the satanic spirits, too. It's greed. Mammon. That's what they want to do. No, we want to preach the gospel, preach the truth. We want to live the truth. Why? Because folk are watching us. And because folk are watching us, let's go to Romans chapter 10. This is one I want to put in there. They're watching us. We want to live this thing out. We ought to live this life without reproof. That when people see us, well, they can say what they want to, because the devil's still going to accuse you anyway. He's going to accuse us anyway. He's going to find something. You know, Jesus didn't had no fault. They still accuse him. I told you that. They took him before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate chopped him. They slapped him in his face. So when he talked back, they slapped him. So you talk to the high priest like that, you know. They slapped him. They slapped Jesus in his face. And the soldiers slapped him and said, you talk to, you, when he was talking back to Caesar, one of those fellows over there, Festus, and it slapped him. But Jesus, you know, they couldn't find no fault. Here in the book of Romans, it says, Paul says, he says, talking about the gospel. So what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's what we're preaching. The word of faith, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done at the cross. That he died, he was buried, he rose again from the third day. God raised him up from the dead. He says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But before all of this come, we have to go back to Acts 2 and 38. Before you get here, we have to go to Acts 2 and 38. We have to repent. We have to start with repentance. Clear the atmosphere. Clear your heart. Our heart has to be clear. We have to repent for all that stuff that we were doing that was not of Christ, not of God. All that stuff that kept us from even hearing the word. We were so stiff-necked, so hard-hearted, we couldn't hear the word. The word was preaching all around. We was passing by, excuse me, and we were seeing the open-air crusades and revivals, and we were mocking them. We were laughing at them. They're out there with the tambourines. I know when I was a young man in my country. They had the women all dressed in white. There was like hundreds of them, and there would go come in certain areas, and they would set up, and they put a thing like a blanket, a pad on the floor with a pan that people can put money in, offerings. They didn't call for offerings, but they would put this up, and they would teach about Jesus. And they didn't have all the instruments like people had, but they had tambourines, and they would sing the church songs, the hymns, and Pentecostal songs they would sing. And they would preach about God, preach about Jesus, and preach about his love. And my friends and I, we were friends, just laughed. Because we didn't know no better. We didn't understand all that they were talking about, you know. And we mocked them. But somehow, God had opened my heart to receive, my ears to hear, my heart to receive what they were talking about. And I remember back then, way back there, when my mother, who couldn't read or write, but she was singing the gospel sounds. Everything that she heard, one thing she used to listen to was Oral Roberts, an old preacher named Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, all these preachers she used to listen to. And because we only had one station when I was a little boy. The radio was called Radio Fusion. You had to get that from the government. And you pay a fee every month. Every month, you know, like $10 or something a month. Maybe less than that. And it hang on the wall. And got one wire coming from the pole and come through the house and go to that box. And all you do is just switch on the knob. You didn't have nothing to switch the station. This day, just switch on the knob, you get that one station. And whatever was coming over that station that day, you hear. But she would get up every morning to hear the preacher. The preacher that would come on early in the morning. And she would memorize the scriptures. And I could hear from time to time that I'd be going places or doing stuff, and I could hear my mama singing these songs. And it just reminded me that she was planting seeds in my heart. That's what doesn't matter what happened to me now. I'm sold out. I've given my life completely to him. I'm committed to walking this way till he take me out of this world. And not saying that I'm going to get everything done perfect. I'm not saying that, but I'm trying. I'm trying. Listen to what he says. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I confess this day. I confess Jesus is Lord, that he's Savior. I confess that he was crucified on the cross for my sins. He died for my sins. And he rose up from the dead for my justification. So I have confidence that because he rises up, risen from the dead, I will rise from the dead too. All I have to do is live to rise again in him. I mean, you're going to rise up anywhere. You can rise up to eternity or rise up to damnation. I want to rise up out of that grave to eternity. He says, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It doesn't matter what they come to you, how they're coming at you, what names they're calling you. They're calling Christians all kind of names now. If you go on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram or Periscope, if you walk the streets and people know you're a Christian, or if you start to evangelize, all kinds of names, even come to the point to challenge you, want to fight with you. The man was standing on a box. That was his pulpit. That altar. He was standing on the box, preaching about Jesus, preaching about salvation, telling the people to repent if they want to live again. And the girl come and kicked the box, and then she kicked the preacher on his back, and he got back up on the box and started preaching again. He didn't draw a knife, he didn't pull a gun. He was using the word of God. Because we're going to be persecuted. We can't react the way they want us, because they want us to react. They want us to retaliate so they can say, I told you they wasn't Christians. I told you they wouldn't say. They'll do anything to us, but if we react, then they say we wouldn't say. But God said, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Let them see my love. Even if they break your jaw, God will heal your jaw. Even if they stab you, you'll die from this body. They can't kill your soul. You'll get a new body. You understand? We got to live this thing out. This is serious times that we're in. And a lot of Christians, majority are going to get persecuted. Majority of Christians are going to be persecuted. Believe what I'm telling you. We're in this time. Our president right now said all type of agendas. No, you can't even preach and say certain things. They had a big thing for Thanksgiving there in Texas, and the Christians wanted to have a, what do you call that stuff, a float, Christian float, where the people stand and sit up there, and they got a car driving them up there, and they put signs on it about the Bible and about salvation, all that stuff, and they say they couldn't do it because the LGBTQ said that they want to be part of the, but not to praise or encourage the Christians. They want to be part of the Christian float so they can mock Jesus. And the pastor said, no, we're not going to do that. So they said if the LGBT can't be part of your float, you can't be in part of the march. Celebration. So LGBT is getting more play, more game now in this world system in Christianity. You can't say certain things. But it says there's no difference in between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. This is why we tell them how much Jesus loved them. You know, when I was playing dice, when I was playing cards, playing poker, when I was running here with this woman and that woman and all this stuff and going and all this stuff and orgies and all this stuff, God was still in love with me. It didn't stop him from loving me, but he didn't love the sin that I was indulging in. And God loved every homosexual. I want this recorded. God loved every homosexual, every lesbian, every dope pusher, every prostitute, every fornicator, every adulterer, every thief, every murderer. He loved them all. He loved all sins. That's why he said in the book of Ezekiel, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, the soul of the son. He said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This is why we have to tell them, even though they slap us and they kick us and they spit on us, it did worse than that for Jesus. I was telling the pastor the other day. Can you imagine somebody taking a six inch or 8 inch spike and driving it through your instep? The first and the second is not enough to go through one foot, and you're in agony. But then it goes from the top foot to the next foot, and you got to feel that pain all over again. And not enough to go through one wrist, but to go through the second wrist. You got to feel that pain all over. And then when you think you got over it, the driver spit in your side. Can you imagine that? And then you think, well, you're over it now. Then they put a crown of thorns, the 3-inch spikes down through your brow, piercing your back brow. You could feel the blood coming down your face. He didn't say a mumbling word. Nobody said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. He wanted them to see his love, to love for them. The centurion at the cross is surely, this was the Son of God, the very one that went to the cross, piercing. Here Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. He says, surely, that was the Son of God. We get the slightest thing happen to us, we want to put down the Bible. We're not going back to church. We don't want to fellowship anymore. I'm not going back to that line. I'm not going back to that church. I'm not fellowshiping anymore. But you say you love Jesus. Nobody can give you correction. If somebody give you correction, right? I don't know why the pastor, he got to talk to me that way, where she got to talk to me that day. Well, you know you're wrong. You can't be wrong and still right at the same time. Wrong and strong. How are you going to grow? Well, you grow by taking correction. Taking correction so you can see. That's why I said, if I'm doing wrong, you know, by God, please correct me. Don't let me die and go to heaven acting a fool. You know, people say, well, I ain't going back to that church. I ain't going to that line. I ain't going to say nothing when I'm on that line because they always correct me. Well, Go to hell with that stuff that you don't want to get fixed with. I don't want to go to hell. My pastor told me one time, he said, look, you like to fight. And when people come at you, you retaliate to them. He said, man, sit down until you get an understanding of who you are and who you are. And I felt bad. But I was still cleaning the sanctuary, Apostle. I was still vacuuming. I was still cleaning the bathroom. I was still picking up cigarette butts and beer cans and beer balls and soda balls and all that stuff that people just come in the parking lot and just drop the stuff in the parking lot around the church and leave. I go doing all that stuff. I didn't feel good because my feelings, my paper feelings, my toilet paper, tissue paper feelings was hurt. But I knew that if I continue, God will do something. And right now, God has done something. That's why I'm where I am right now. God has brought me from that place. I don't have that desire to fight with people and cuss people out and all that kind of stuff anymore. All I was praying up last night, praying for you all. Late last night, I was up praying for all of you all, praying for the president, the police, and everybody I was praying for last night, just cutting in. And I asked God to just open my wisdom eyes, my wisdom ears, my wisdom heart, so I can see and hear and receive more. Because I want more. I don't have enough. I know a little bit, but I don't know enough yet. I want more. And to want more, I have to spend more time with him. And I got to love people more. So many people say, well, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus so much. Oh, I love him so much. But they don't love the people like even the congregational brother and sister, they don't love. Can't sit next to their sister in the church. Can't sit next to their brother. Their brother need help, they want to help their brother. And they have exactly what their brother needs. It wouldn't help. But they say they love Jesus. Jesus, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. I want Lord to bless me. And sure they get blessed, don't help nobody. They want more. They want more. Greed, that's the spirit. That's the satanic spirit. Pastor would put it on there, they call him something, say the mammon. He said the word mammon that Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon too. Or mammon and God, always said. He says, that mammon, the Greek word for that is greed. He said, that's the name of that satanic, one of Satan. Satan has seven principals are lieutenants, and Mammon is one of them. It's one of those, which means that when you get something, you always want more. You got $2,000, you want $10,000. You get $10,000, you want $40,000. You get $40,000, you want $100,000. You get $1 million, you want $1 trillion. You're never satisfied. You can't live long enough to get rid of the $3 million that you have, because you're not giving anybody any. You're not donating anything. And what happened is you still want to get $4 more million, $5 more million, $2 more trillion. The devil got George Soros pumping him with money, because he's spreading satanism. And anything that dealing with the devil, he'll put money into it. He don't think twice of dash over $6 or $7 million, as long as it's dealing with Satanism. Greed. Satan want more souls. The Bible says, oh God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon his name. Call upon his name in repentance. We're talking about the gospel of Yeshua or Jesus Christ. Call upon him. Don't let nobody tell you that because you live in a different lifestyle, you're sinning different to them, that God don't love you. Somebody may be sinning and gossiping. Every time you look around, they're gossiping. They're talking about somebody, and they're in the church. They're preaching, they're teaching. But every time you look around, they're talking about their sister or their brother. They're pointing out their faults. They spend more time. They're not trying to say, well, them people ought to stop sinning. They just spend all day. They're drinking Coca-Cola, eating bologna sandwich or peanut butter and jelly, whatever, chicken sandwich. And all day long, they're sitting around talking about their brothers, gossiping. The Bible says he despised the talebearer. It says they're sinning. They don't realize they're sinning. But they point at you because you're a homosexual. God says, no, I love you, homosexual. I love the lesbian. I just hate the sin. Instead of telling them how much God loved them, we are focused on this. We are focused on this sin. And as we start telling them about their sin, they get upset. Just talk about sin in general. Don't say, well, God don't like the homosexual sinner. God don't like sin, period. But he loved the sinner. That's why he went to Calvary. If you call upon him in repentance for whatever your vice is, no matter what it is, God is able. He is willing and ready to forgive your sins. The Bible says if you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all, not some, all unrighteousness. This is gospel. Listen to what it says. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? See, we gotta break this thing down in a way that when folk hear it, the word of God would convict them and cause them to search their own heart. It would cause them to take inventory of their self and see if they're ready. If God showed up right now, are you ready? Wherever, whatever country you are in, whatever nation, whatever city you are in, will you be ready to go back with him? Are you to the place that he would take you back? If you look at your own heart and examine your own heart, would he take you back? Or would he tell you, depart from me? I don't know you. You work of iniquity. All of us should examine our own hearts every day instead of pointing our fingers at other people. That's why I start my day with repentance every day. And then if I, get up and move too fast, I say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I was so busy trying to get this or get that, do this stuff together. I have to forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I repent for my thoughts. Lord, for things said or not said, done or not done, I repent, Lord. Help me, Lord God, to do much better than I did yesterday. Lord, all I want to do is please you, Lord. Because I know folks are watching me. And if I don't walk in the light continuously, they don't want to come in the light. That's why he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. All light has to shine. It's not just preaching the gospel. It's living the gospel. folk talk about, oh, I go to church on Sunday, I go on Wednesday. Every time the pastor called me, I'm there. But are you living with the pastor teaching you? And then do you have a pastor that's living the gospel? Because, see, if the pastor is very lenient, the people are going to become lenient. Guess what happened? He said, my pastor's all right. My pastor's cool. My pastor don't mind me smoking some marijuana. My pastor don't mind me when I go to the club on Saturday night and come. As long as I get to church on Sunday morning. But that's not the place you want to be. Because you want a pastor that's going to come to you and give you the word of God that will convict your heart to do the things that are pleasing before God. We're going to talk about Naomi and Ruth the next time I come back, because that's gospel. See, your lifestyle speaks. It's your ministry, your lifestyle. And if we're saying one thing but we're living a different, guess what people say? Well, I don't want to follow her. I don't want to follow him. I'm not perfect. The young man that I call young man because he's in his 60s. Early 60s. And he told me, he said, Apostle, my wife is so proud of you, knowing you, the way you live. I said, I couldn't live this without God. So all the glory to God. If you know how much he convicts me every day, you would be amazed. How much he chastised me every day to do better. When sometimes my flesh get out of a hand and get angry. When I see things going on, and my brothers are being burnt alive, and they're being maimed, their hands are cut off, their feet are cut off because of something that they did in Africa, India, China, and I get upset. How can living human beings treat other living human beings the way? Don't even treat a dog like that. Here in my state, you do, in the state I live in, if you do certain things to dogs, you get locked up. You get locked up for a long time. You get more time for hurting a dog here than you hurt a human being. So they have more love for the dog, their dogs, see, than they have for human beings here. They'll take up a dog off the street and spend thousands upon thousands of dollars on a dog, and they got people living on the streets in cardboard boxes and abandoned cars. And most people wouldn't do anything for them. I see them take dogs off the street and take to the vet. And they give the vet a MasterCard, a Visa, a gold card, platinum. So whatever you spend on the dog, whatever you do for the dog, I pay for. Wouldn't take a person. They say they love the Lord. Love a dog better. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? See, we got to tell them. We got to get to the point of showing them. You see, the love of Christ will cause people to believe. Because a lot of people believe that God is such a, he is such a terrible God that he can do all these bad things to people. But no, he doesn't do that. The lifestyle that we live is what does things to us. Cause the bad things to happen to us. You know, since I became a Christian and God had called me out of the darkness into the light, I have not had to, Apostle, I wouldn't lie to you. I have not had to look in my rearview mirror or the side mirrors if I heard a siren. The only thing I do, I look to see how close they get, so I got to pull over. Some people don't pull over the car. The police want to run them over. But I pull over. When I see like four or five cars later, I pull over and stop to let them pass. I was in the neighborhood last night, and I went over there and fixed that lady's furnace boiler yesterday. I had to clean the boiler. The boiler was so bad. It was like a bomb. And I had to shut it down, and I'd take it apart, break it apart, and fix it and put it back together. And her heat was kicking. Now, she got three boilers in that place. She got three apartments in the house, first floor, second floor, and third floor, rented out. So she told me she wanted me to clean the other two boilers. She going to call me to come and clean them. We went in, she said she didn't have enough money, so she had to go to the bank to get some more money. I want a big job, $650 job, but I get a guy who works for me and give him $250. He does a little bit of stuff, not too much, because you don't know that, but I give him $250. I get four, he get $200. And anyway, she went to get some more money. And we went to this little shopping center in Dorchester.
I've never seen so many. And quick, so I hear the sirens going off like crazy. This is a very bad place, Dorchester, Roxbury, Jamaica Plain, Hyde Park. Those places are bad places. When I say bad, the place is not bad. The people in there is very, there's a lot of dope deal, a lot of prostitution, all that stuff. You have some good people in their neighborhood too, but you have a lot of people that live in there that they want to make everything easy. They don't want to go to work. Their work is on the streets. And they kill one another. You know, they blame the police and they blame the white man, but we, black people in the police or anybody. So, man, I tell you, Pastor, I never seen so many police cars. They were coming from everywhere. So I called my wife. I said, well, I didn't know if they were shooting cars. Sometimes you hear the pop, 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 you know. But I didn't hear none. You know, driving with my music, you know, close. So when they get in the, man, police was coming from everywhere. Police, ambulance, fire truck, rescue machine, all kinds of stuff. I tell you, must be had about 30 police cars coming down this street. I said, I got to get over here because they start blocking off the street. I ain't never going to get home. You know, I ain't never going to get home. So I got out of there. I said, Lord, thank you, Lord. I got out of there safe. But this is the stuff that going. We have to preach this word, and we have to preach it with love. Sure that people know that God, he loves them. He loves all of us. I'm not perfect. I do stuff. When I do stuff, but stuff comes up in my heart, in my mind, you know, because that's what the devil does. Every day he's still trying to get me to go back into my old life. Every day he's telling me stuff. And I have to say, devil, you got to go. You got to go. You know, sometimes I'm up late studying the Bible, and I see the frame like a man standing in the room. I said, devil, you're a liar. The blood of Jesus covered my family, all of my family, here and there. Georgia, Washington, all of my friends, all of my associates, blood of Jesus covered them right now. I hear Apostle Washington told me she see him come in her room. You see the figures. I said, they come because they want to distract you. That's his job. The Bible said when the sons of God came before God, Satan was present. These are where he came from going to and from the earth. Satan wants to distract you. You start to see a figure, you know, in the house. You say, oh, I ain't going to read anymore. I ain't going to study anymore. I'm going to go to sleep. And so you lay down, close your eyes, he's gone. Because he wants to stop you from going any deeper, any further in the scriptures. This is his job. This is his job. So no, we have to shut him down. Shut him down, being able to do what he's doing. We go back here and finish this little bit of scripture right here. Hallelujah. He always take care of us if we just do what we're gonna do. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And this thing, this preaching here, he got to have love. I hear preachers say, you can catch some flies with vinegar, but you can catch a whole lot more with honey. And I know that to be true. Because if you catch a couple of flies with vinegar, they no more gonna come back. Or that burning start to get in the atmosphere, the flies not coming there. But you put some honey on a piece of paper and put it on the table. Man, you're gonna have flies everywhere. Everywhere, cause it's sweet. Put some love on the gospel. Let them know how much he loved them. Let them know that it wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross, but it was the love that he had for mankind. The Bible says, how shall they preach except they be sent? See, a lot of people want to, they hear you preaching with such tenacity. They forget how much they don't consider how much time you have spent with the Lord. You're in the book from morning. Sometimes you're listening. You're listening for 5, 6 hours, 8 hours straight. You're reading for 10 hours. You're studying for 10 hours. That when you're done, all you can do is just drink some coffee or tea or have a sandwich or lay across the bed or the easy chair or the couch and go to sleep. Because your eyes get so tired. They don't know what it takes to get this thing. You have to put time in. It's just on your job. On your job. If you don't put some interest in your job, your boss man, your supervisor is not going to give you any raise.
Well, it's the same thing. Same in the natural, same in the spirit. It, most time we spend with this, with the Word of God, studying the Word, God let the Word, he now sows the Word into our heart. My pastor said, don't get in the Word. Get the Word in you. Get the Word in you. People go home to get in the Word. No, get the Word in you. Go over and over and over. Don't try to copy everything that somebody said. I like nuggets from people. I use nuggets from other people. But mostly I study this Word and allow the Holy Spirit to talk through me. He says, how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. See, when we release this Word of God, people ought to be getting excited. They want to know more about this man that died for them, for us. They want to know what would give him so much to want to die for us. Love, L-O-V-E, obedience. See, for this very cause I came, to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus said so. I have people say, when I find God, man, God never been lost. I read this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I see no part in the Bible where it says that Jesus or God was lost. No place in the Bible. And folks say, oh, when I find God, I can remember. I can remember like yesterday when I find God. No, I can tell. I can remember like yesterday when he came in the crack house and tell me that he I'm going to get high anymore. And I didn't know no better. I tried to get high. I waste my money that day because everybody's got high that wasn't seeking Christ, didn't get a call from him. He didn't come and draw them out. They were getting high off of my money, my stuff, but I couldn't get high. And finally I said, no, no more. I'm wasting any more money. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, this is so beautiful. He said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who shall believe our report? Who shall believe our report? He said, for then faith coming by hearing and hearing the word of God. You see, the more we study this thing, the more that we hear it. That's why I always said, my wife, she said, why you gotta read out so loud? I said, baby, because I'm building my faith. I don't necessarily got to hear the preacher all the time, but I got to hear me when I'm in this. In my spirit, man, elevates when I'm studying, when I'm thinking, when I'm going over this word, I begin to grow. I'm growing spiritually. The same thing that I teach to you is the same thing that he's doing with me. I'm first partake of this word. Hallelujah. So, excuse me. Let's go to one more scripture here, and then we're gonna close up. Let's go to Second Timothy, and let's go in the Amplified for that one. Second Timothy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Second Timothy. This is the last scripture I'm gonna do today, I believe. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We are still talking about the gospel of Yeshua. He says, talking about the gospel, he said, but refuse, shut your mind against, having nothing to do with, trifling, ill inform, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questions. For you know that they foster strife and breed quarrel. Paul here saying, look, don't listen to this old wife talking. You know, sometimes a lot of people, they just start up stuff, don't know anything. They can't be in agreement with God's word, but they start to argue and start up. Let's look at that in the King James Version, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we start at verse 23. This is what it says. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife, or they cause problems. You know, a lot of people say, oh, why you got to always talking about God? Why you always got to talk about Jesus? Why you always got to talk about salvation? Well, because we know it's the gateway to Christ. To receive him. To receive what he's done at Calvary. You want to go to heaven? How are you going to go to heaven without accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior? So we got to talk about salvation. Can't you talk about prosperity? But what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? You want to talk about prosperity. A lot of rich people, multi-trillionaires, billionaires, going to end up in hell. Because they want to talk about prosperity. They don't want to talk about the Savior. They don't want to talk about salvation. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, not some men. Hear what he said? King James Version. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God beforehand, pre-adventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, we have to take time and work with people, showing them the way. We're not the way. He is the way. Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. We have to always point to him. Preacher said, I said, Apostle was saying that some preacher says, I lay hands on this body and they got healed. I spoke a word over this body and they got saved. Jesus doing all the healing. Jesus doing all the saving. The mailman delivered the meal. He didn't write the mail. He delivered the mail. That's all. And he delivered to the address that's on the envelope. You got to tell you to release the word into the hearts of men. He says, all of this stuff caused crawling. He said to avoid it. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone. And mild-tempered, I used to be hot-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher. In other words, he must know the word of God. She must know the word of God. The word of God is not a weapon to cut people down, but it's a spiritual weapon, if you say the same, to combat Satan and lift up the people of God. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient, forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. See, this is correction. We sometimes don't want nobody to say anything to us, but we want to say we are saved and sanctified. We get mad at others when they try to correct us. We don't realize that love comes with correction. Yesterday I came home, Apostle, and I have a lot of glasses because my vision, I can see way down the street. I had laser surgery on my eyes when I was back in Virginia, living in Virginia years ago. And it gave me, I don't know if you call it, I guess, far sight. I can see the sun way down the street, but I can't see nothing here that is small. If it's regular size, I can see everything normal. But when it comes to reading, I can't. If I take off my glasses, I can't see nothing on the computer right now. I have two computers and a Bible in front of me. I wouldn't be able to see anything. I can see the computer. I can see the book. But I can't read them. The print just go down small. But to say that, to say this, is that we have to suffer. We will suffer in teaching and preaching this word. Because, well, we have to we have to preach this thing with love and compassion. And everybody don't want love and compassion. They want the love and compassion that come with the world, that comes with the world. And that love and compassion that they want is the love that is in agreement with their sin. Do you hear what I'm saying? But when you have the love of compassion of God to love them in spite of their sin and expose their sin by the word of God, they don't want that. So they want to hurt you. You must correct. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness. Hear what Paul is saying. This is the Amplified Bible. He must, verse 25, he must correct his opponents. That's his adversary, the ones that are coming against you. The ones that you want to reach. These are ones that are not saved. They're not sanctified. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. All of a sudden, my throat starts itching me. Excuse me. You must correct them with courtesy, with gentleness, in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth. See, the truth is what set them free. And I want you to know that the truth is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He is the word. He is the truth. He is the word. He is the way. He is the life. When they get to understand this word is so powerful. That's why the Bible says it's like a two-edged sword. This is so, when it cuts you going in and it cuts you coming out. I know I got scriptures sometimes. I had a preacher talk when I was dimming and dabbing in the world. In the church and in the church building in the body of Christ, and I was still slipping and dipping. And the preacher like, no. That's not all the deal. Like, he know my business like that. Were he with me? Were he with me last night? Were he with me Thursday night? And the preacher of a prisoner says, and he started talking stuff that I done, Pastor, no lie. And I said, man, I can't understand how the preacher can get up there and preach about me. But no, God was convicting me. And God put that stuff, and probably why I wasn't the only person. Probably was there the people in there that had done the same stuff and done the same stuff that I did. And God was convicting them to draw them closer to him. Because that's how he convicts us. By his word, by his spirit. And then we know because our spirit bears witness with him, his spirit bears witness with ours. So he talks to our spirit. And I said, my God, I don't know how the preacher can talk to me like he can talk to me like that. Who give him the right to talk to me? But guess what? He was giving me growth. Because God was saying, this is what you need to work on, son. You can't walk with me and walk in with the world too. He says, you got to correct them, your opponents, with courtesy and gentleness, in the hope, listen, believing in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and notice and acknowledge it. This is the key to the gospel. We don't want to be so harsh that we run people from God. We don't want to be so harsh that people say, I don't want this stuff. Love covers a multitude of sin. You can win a lot of people. My wife, sometimes I come out with telling you I had all the glasses. That's thank the Holy Spirit. But I carry a pair that I like these. Because sometimes I got to look for the manufacturing number on the furnace or whatever equipment I'm working on, and I need to put on the glasses to see the fine print from the computer that stamp on the equipment. Well, I had one that I wear for the sun. The sun shades lightly tint. So I came and I brought them out the truck. So I thought I'd brought in the other reading glasses, and I want to start posting some stuff on the computer. I told my wife, I said, she had tickled so again there. She took the trash away, had some stuff, and put some stuff on the counter, on the kitchen sink. And she
put the trash together. I said, honey, you see my glasses was over here. I had a computer, because I took a computer with me. Because sometimes I knew I take the computer and I take the picture of the model number and serial number. It's easier than writing all that stuff down. And if I can see it and got a position to take the picture. So I brought a computer in my drink cup, travel cup, excuse me. And I told my wife, I said, I bet you put them glasses inside the trash and put them in the trash bag. She said, no, honey, I just took up the container that you had the food in, and I put in there. I brought home some curry golden rice. She don't eat that like that. And I think that she was going to make some hot dogs. I don't like hot dogs. They got too much stuff in them, unless they're kosher hot dogs. But regular hot dogs, they got too much fillings in, they're not good for you. The dye and all that stuff they put in them. So I don't eat them. So I stopped and got me some. I stopped at a Jamaican restaurant and got some curry golden rice. And so after I put the rice in a regular container, she put the container in the trash. And my glass, I thought the glass was there. So I took a shower and I changed off. I said, honey, can you do me a favor? Could you please go to my truck and see if my glasses are in there? If they're in there, they'll be right on the console, you know, by the armrest. Now she went outside. I was just blaming her. Listen, I was sure positively, 100% positive that she threw my glasses in the trash. Well, she come back and she said, honey, I got your glasses. You did leave the glasses in the truck. You know what I had to do quick there? I said, honey, I'm so sorry for blaming you, thinking that you threw the glasses. Why? I needed to accept my failure. That was my shortcoming. I didn't say maybe it's possible you put them. I said, no, I'm sure you put them inside the trash. Well, you got to be big enough to take correction or give correction. You got to be. This is how your relationship will last. Even if you are an elder, a deacon, an usher, whatever your position is in the body of Christ, if you get correction, you ought to be able to take correction and grow. If you don't take it, you're not going to grow. You get mad. You don't want to speak to people. Don't want to be all that kind of foolishness. That's from the devil. That's from the pit of hell. Open your mouth. Give God glory. And tell her, I'm sorry. Because none of us is perfect. And I tell my baby, oh, that's honey, I'm not perfect. And you sure enough ain't perfect either. None of us are perfect. So when we come up short and we say the wrong thing, not cussing each other or like that stuff, but if you say something, then you know if you're making her feel bad because you're making him feel bad that he did something that shouldn't have done, she did something. No, you correct yourself. Correct yourself. And the situation, you get strong. Let me finish this stuff here. He says, Paul went on and said, I like this in the Amplified, though. He said, and that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil. See when folk are going the wrong way, the devil has them, and we call it a fly stick. You know, you set this little bone out thing, bent over, and they have the hoops in the bottom. You put some corn inside the little trap in there, and when the bird or the snake or whatever come over that trap, the trap will fly, and this little hole will come up and catch them on their leg, and they can't get away. Well, that's what happened. See, if they don't get correction, and if we don't correct them with love, they stay in that holding pattern that the devil has control over them, causing them to do whatever he wants done. And what happened? No, it's hard, because I've heard people say, well, the young man that he and I worked together from time to time, he said, you know, a pastor said something from his pastor at the time said something from the altar, and it hurt him and hurt his wife. And he says, Apostle, my wife and I have never been back into a church building since that day. Hurt. Do you hear what it says? Hurt. By a man of God who was supposed to extend the love of God to them. With courtesy, with patience, like the translator is saying here in this text. With gentleness. Why? Why we got to come down to that place?
say, well, I'm the pastor. I don't need to be that soft. I'm supposed to give him the way God give me. No, God didn't give you that way. Jesus was compassionate. Jesus was loving. Even unto death, he was loving. He was kind. He was merciful. And most of us don't have no mercy. We want mercy. But we don't have no mercy. Come on. You got to go? Most of us don't have any mercy, don't have no compassion. We're not willing to extend compassion to nobody. Say, I'm the pastor, I'm the bishop. I'll say it's my way. I'm the one God put in charge over here. That's what we said. I'm the one God put in charge. So I say it, and how I say it, that's the way it is. Why we lose a lot of people like that? They lose them like that. People going to mess up because people are jacked up. We living in a time now, especially now, the things are so hard, you know. Young woman almost lost her life a couple of days ago. Almost lost. She's a male woman. She's carrying the mail. And three young boys, ain't no more 17, 18, that old. And they stick up the woman. But nice, if they had gone to Papa shot her and took all the mail from her. She's a mail carrier. So somebody didn't get their mail. Probably didn't get their checks in the mail. But this is the time that we're living in. We have to be full of compassion, full of mercy, willing to extend the love of Christ to people. Why? Because the devil got them in a snare. And we want them to be able to escape the snare of the devil. He said they're being held in captivity by him. Henceforth to do this, at God's will, there will be escape. God is willing for everyone to have a chance. He says not his desire that anyone will perish. So, but we that is his mail people, we are his mail carriers. The word of God is the mail. We are carrying the mail, but we want to deliver the mail, not just get to the house and say, well, look, and it don't look like nobody in that house. We'll come back tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. I'm using that analogy. And say, well, I just don't, they're not ready for me yet. You know, some preachers say that. They're not ready for what I got to offer. Well, how many times did Jesus knock at the door of your heart, at my heart, and I didn't receive him, you didn't receive him, but he keep coming, and keep pouring out his love, his compassion, his mercy, and we kept, we weren't ready. We weren't ready. We kept doing what we were doing, but he kept coming. Till one day we heard, you know, all of us we had a worldly lifestyle, most of us, living a worldly lifestyle. And Jesus was trying to get into our heart, but we were busy doing what we were doing. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. And, O God, we pray that we have said something from the word by the Spirit that has touched somebody near or far. And, oh, God, we pray for all those that are sick in their bodies today, those that are going through family problems, relationship problems. Lord, and we pray for those that don't have a home, a place to rest their heads this holiday season. Lord, we pray that somebody would invite them to a home-cooked meal. Invite them to a place where they could get a shower. Or even just pay for them to go to a hotel to get clean up for this holiday season. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for the presidency. For the administration, for the Democratic and the Republican parties. The Supreme Court Justice Department. God, we pray for the police department. The fire department. We pray for all husbands and wives, legally, men and women, husbands and wives, as you have ordained in the Garden of Eden. Lord, we pray for the little boys and girls in the school, those that are home by means of some type of sickness.
God, we pray for those little kids that are come out the womb and find out that they had cancer. Some of their eyes were crossed and twisted. Lord, we pray for healing right now. I was looking at a little girl last night that brought tears to my eyes. She was just a couple years old. They discovered that she had this cancer in her eyes. A lot of pain. And the mother was crying. But she said, I was so thankful to the people out there that gives to Shriner and St. Jude's. She says, because they told her and her husband they didn't have to worry about the bill. And she said, it's probably in the hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to fix her daughter's eyes. Lord, I pray that even as I see that little girl in the vision right now, that you will heal her eyes, because we know that you have medicine that no man can, that when you come through the room, that she'll be healed. And not only her, but all those that are trying to touch the hem of your garment on the behalf of their children. We ask you, God, that you will touch marriages today. Lord, is somebody thinking about being divorced, just want to walk out their marriage because of finances, financial difficulties, maybe because of somebody on the side. Lord, I ask that you rejuvenate that marriage, that you rekindle the fire that once burned bright and clear. Father, we pray for the church of the living God. Lord, we ask that you touch every angel of the house, that they may come to a clear understanding of the call, of the assignment that you have placed on our lives, that we would make a sound decision to walk upright before you, to reach out and touch your people with courtesy and gentleness, with meekness, with love and compassion, O God, that we extend the hand of mercy as you extend to us. Father, we pray for the teachers. Yes, Lord, we pray for the teachers, that you protect them from these little bullies that goes to the school. They're not going to learn, but they're going to fight the teacher and fight each other. Lord, that you protect the teachers. And Lord, I pray today that you touch the teachers, that they will stand flat-footed against this new agenda from the government that want them to talk about same-sex marriage and all of this stuff. And Father, I ask that you begin to clean our schools, that you begin to clean our schools from this transgender same-sex idea and this dry cleans teaching to our young people. I ask you, Father, you said we have not because we ask not. And when we ask amiss. But today, Lord Jesus, I'm not asking amiss. I'm asking you, as you give me utterance in my heart, that you touch the heart of the people today. And God, that you bring deliverance, you bring restoration. Continue to strengthen my marriage. Continue to strengthen my family, my son and my daughters, my grandsons, my great-grandson, my great-granddaughters. Lord, strengthen them. Ask that you heal my daughter suffering with bad knees in Georgia. Heal her. At a young age, she got bad knees. And Father, we pray for my son, Benjamin. Lord, that you keep him focused on the job that he just started. He got a new job. He likes the job, but he still needs to make more money to help his family to get and buy a home. Oh, Father, we just ask that you keep them secure together as they're so deeply in love, Lord. Let them see each other each day as it was the first day. Father, we lift up Pastor Joyce Stewart, Apostles Ronnie Stewart and their family, their sons and their daughters, and their grandsons and great-grandchildren. Lord, the church family, Lord, we ask you to move through the crevices of the church and continue to heal any brokenness, oh God. We ask, Father God, that you add to that church, bring back those that went away for some reason or another, bring them back. And Father, we ask that you allow your power, your strength, your authority to flow through the set angel of that house, Apostle Ronnie Stewart, Lord God. We ask, Father God, that you touch his body. If there are any infirmities, regardless of how small, how minute, Lord, we ask you to heal him. Strengthen his immune system. Oh, God, Father, that he stand flat-footed in you, knowing that you are his medicine. You are his strength. You are the one who restores him each day. We thank you, Lord, for all that the both of them does for the kingdom. Lord, physically, spiritually, and financially, we ask you, oh God, to continue to enrich everything that they touch, Lord. Let there be no lack in their ministry or in their lives, Lord God. Protect their children from all hurt, harm, and danger. Lord, let their church be a prototype in that neighborhood, that even all types of people will come to that church, Lord. They will be drawn by your spirit, Lord God, because the word will go forth and constantly going forth in that house that is full of your light, full of your power, full of your anointing, oh God. We ask, Father God, for you to touch Bishop James Washington and Apostle Linda Washington, Lord. Lord, they're going through so much. Lord, with their eyes, with their knees, with their heart, so much. The children, grandchildren. But Father, we know that they're not fighting these dilemmas by themselves, the situation by themselves, because you told them that the battle is not theirs. Regardless of what the battle is, it is yours. You will fight the battle for them. We ask God that the information that she's waiting for now and the things that she has to do for her son to get in, Peter to get into the apartment, that all will work for their good and for your glory. Lord, work it out for them. We thank you, Father God, because, Lord, they are kingdom builders, not only physical, spiritual, but financial. Lord, all the people has to do is ask, and they sin. We ask, Father God, that you fill their barns. Let not their barns be empty. And, Father, we ask you to encamp, cause your angels to encamp around their dwelling place, O God, as they are grown old together and they're in the house by themselves. Lord, we ask you to secure the premises that no hurt, harm, or danger befall them. And Lord, we pray for Apostle Millie Jefferson, that she, her body, her health get better, that she begin to get strong. Understand that she had a physical attack in her body. Lord, I don't know what it is, but you know. I ask you, Lord, to strengthen her heart, strengthen her lungs, strengthen her kidneys. Lord, we ask you to continue to heal her sister, her brother-in-law, her daughter, who not too long had surgery and going through a lot of pain, her son-in-law, who also had surgery and is in pain. We ask you to heal her grandson who had some type of virus that was attacking his body. We ask you to heal him. Jesus, we call upon you because we know you answer us. We know that you hear us. And we know that because you hear us, you will do for us what no one else can do. We thank you for being Savior, for being Lord, for being our Redeemer.
Lord, we pray for those that don't know you as Lord and Savior.
Oh, Father, we ask you today that you would heal, deliver, restore. Draw the unsaved to you today. You said it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to reach out from your home in glory and reach into time today, even right now, Lord, and touch those that are lost spiritually. Yes, Lord, touch them and draw them to you, Lord, for you said no one can come except you draw them. Oh, Father, we ask you to touch the sick, touch the lame, touch the blind, bless the deaf, touch those that are lost spiritually. And God, let them, allow them to hear your voice. You said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger that will not follow. Lord, we ask you to touch today. We ask you to bring salvation to our nation. Allow there be to be a revival to take place in this nation, O God. We ask you to send forth the anointing that surely destroy yokes and remove burdens. Somebody don't know you today. They need to hear what you are saying to the church. That they need to call out on Jesus. Call out to the one who gave his life at Calvary. The Bible says that we must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. First, we must repent. And the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish. Lord, we thank you right now that you send your son in the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Also, God, you said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L. And Father, we thank you. You said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we thank you. That's in Romans 3 and 23 and Romans 6 and 23. And John 3 and 33 and 16, 3 and 17. And John 3 and 19 says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Glory to God. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 8 that God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, see, while we were yet doing whatever we were doing that was contrary to God, God loved us enough that he sent his only begotten son to give his life, so that you and I would have access to the tree of life. We could come to the fountain of life and drink. We could eat the bread of life and not be hungry. He did all this in spite of our lifestyle, how we were living. So if you don't know Jesus today, I'm just doing it this way because I'm not looking in the book and not just looking, doing it like this. The Bible says that you have to repent. And repent meaning that you have to turn away from whatever you were doing that was contrary to the word of God, to the command of God. We were loving the world and doing the things of the world. But he said you got to stop. You got to give up the world. You got to give up everything. If we're going to follow him, we got to deny everything. Deny ourselves. Deny our mother, father, sister, brother, wife, husband. We have to deny everything. And not just one day, but daily take up our cross and follow him. And that means that you're taking up. You might go through all types of persecution. You might have to deal with all types of situations. He said, but regardless, follow him. Don't look back. I would tell my son, I said, it's no need for you to look back into your past because you're not going that way.
You have already passed that way. That's why it's called the past. You don't keep looking back. Those are my old friends. This. No, that's your past. Remember, every time you hang with them, you get in trouble. So stop looking back. Look forward. So if you're going to walk for Christ, as he walked for you to Calvary, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision that you're going to let go and that you're going to close your eye to the old street that you walked on before. And you want to get on that new street. That street is called the street of salvation. You want to walk on that street, the street of deliverance, the street of restoration. You want to walk on that new path. So in order to walk on that new path, you've got to let go of the old path. Hallelujah. The Bible says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are passed away. Behold, all old things have become new. So we have to let go of the old in order to operate in the new. A lot of times we can't operate in the new because we're still holding on to the old. We got to let go. I remember when I was in the world, doing the worldly stuff, and I was trying to be saved. I want to be saved. And then I go into church, and I kept finding myself slipping right. I call it slipping in the darkness because I still want to be with them. I still want to experience what they were doing. And I could not. It seemed like it was so hard, like three or four times. It seemed like it was so hard to get this thing. And it was right at my fingertip. God had already paid a price for this gift called salvation. And all I had to do is receive it and then begin to activate it in my life or let it be activated in my life, however you want to say it. But I kept going back with my old associates, my old friends and the old places and messing with the old things, you know. And I had to get to that place where I said, I didn't need those things anymore. I didn't need those people anymore in my life because they was not going the same path that I was going. They looked the same way, but they wouldn't go in the same place. So we have to let go people, places, and things in order to walk in salvation. And it's not hard. You might think that if you let go, not going to the club anymore, if you're not going to the movies, watching them X-rated movies and all that kind of stuff, and messing with people with orgies and all this kind, you're not going to have a good time. I'm telling you something. When you get connection with this Lord, this Savior, this Redeemer, this soon coming King that I'm talking about, and you give your life, your heart to him, there's a joy that the Bible called it joy unspeakable, full of glory, that comes into your heart. I'm telling you something, you don't need marijuana to get experience it. You don't need cocaine. You don't need heroin. You don't need methamphetamine. You don't need fentanyl. You don't need none of that stuff. I tell you, he gives you something that makes you so, oh my gosh, you start to smile, you start to cry. You don't even know, but it just comes over you. It's so sweet. And guess what? What I love about it, you don't have any hangovers. You don't have hangovers from it. You get so high, sometimes you feel like you're flying, like you have just stepped off the cliff and you're walking in midair. But it's just the love of Christ that does that to us. And you don't have to pay anything because why? He already paid it ready. He paid the price at Calvary. So if you don't know him today, and we're doing it this way because that's the way the Holy Spirit leading us, just ask him. Say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word today about the gospel, and I'm convinced in my life right now that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus, I'm repenting of all of my sin. I've lived a wretched life, a rebellious life. But today I'm coming to you acknowledging that you, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that you gave your life for my life, for my sins, that you were crucified on the cross called Calvary, a hill called Calvary, or Golgotha, or the skull, same place. I believe that you did this because you wanted me to experience the love that you had for me, and that you died there on the cross, giving your life as a king for a peasant like me. Today, Jesus, I'm confessing you as the one who died for my sins, who were buried,
and rose again the third day. God, the Father, raised you up the third day. I believe this in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth according to the scriptures. I'm denouncing Satan right now before God and before man on this 22nd day of December. And Jesus, as I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior, I'm inviting you to come into my heart. Come into my heart and take up the position that you have paid for. You purchased my heart, my soul, at Calvary. Now I want you to come and live in me. Let your greatness take control over my heart, my soul, my mind. And help me, Lord Jesus, to live for you. Show me how I must live. I understand according to the word that you are the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. I accept you now. And I thank you for saving me. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Jesus. And I know I'll be cleansed. Save me, and I'll be saved, according to Jeremiah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There may be somebody out there that had backslid, turned away because of something or another. They've been offended by the preacher or someone in the church building. And if that's you today, you can say the same prayer. Ask God to forgive you. And ask God to reach out and invite you back in. And if you reach out your hands, he will hold on to your hand and draw you back in. Because he's a good shepherd. He's a shepherd that leaves the 99 and go out in the thicket for the one that is caught up in the thicket. And he'll come and get you. That's the kind of shepherd he is. He's a shepherd that lays at the door so the wolves can't get to the sheep. And he put his life in harm's way just to protect the sheep. If you receive this salvation today, you said the prayer. If you rededicated your life and you believe in your heart what the scriptures say, that Jesus died for you and that he rose again on the third day and that he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for you, your life is changing. It will never be the same. I'll require that you get a Bible. This is what he told me back in 2010 to tell the people this. It's not written in the Bible, but this is what he gave to me back in 2010 when we started this line, to tell the people to get a Bible to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts so that you get a gospel understanding of the Lord and Savior, the disciple, the apostle that we preach and teach about every day. Every day we preach about them. That is the gospel that we teach about. They all teach the same thing, the kingdom of God, the gospel. Jesus taught it. John the Baptist taught it. Jesus taught it. The apostle teach it. So we just want you to get this. You know, this is your manuscript, our manuscript, basic instructions before leaving earth. But you can't get it unless you study it. Nobody can give it to you. It's just like when you go to school, you see when you was in elementary school and your friend sitting next door to you or next table off, that's from you, and they were doing well, you can't get it. They can't give it to you. Even if you copy it from their book, you just don't get it because you haven't studied. When you study, it goes into your heart. That's why we go over and over and over and over stuff. That's how we get it in our heart, by studying, going over. So you want to study this thing by yourself. You don't want to copy somebody's stuff. You want to study it and get it in your heart. And then once you get it in your heart, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name. We say this because a lot of people baptize different ways. A lot of things I hear preachers say stuff that are not even in the book. You know, they make up their own thing. But you want to go according to Acts 2 and 38. You know, you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And, you know, some preacher going to tell you, well, this is the way we've been doing for 30, 40 years. They're baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or however they do. But it's not according to the Bible. You know, so well, Jesus said so in Matthew 28 and 19. You know? But do you have the full understanding? But you don't want to get there and argue with the people. We're helping you right now. The full understanding of that scripture is Jesus. Understand? The name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. But all the preachers don't have that. They don't get it. They don't get it. They take it face value. They haven't got it. They haven't had the revelation of the knowledge of that scripture yet. But don't argue with them and fight with them, because as I always say, God may bring you back to that same building that you get mad with the pastor after the pastor may have left, or they had to get rid of the pastor for something or other, and they might hear about you because God allows you to grow so fast in the word, and they might want you to come and preach, come and be their interim pastor. But if you got mad, the people remember, well, I remember him when he was at the church and the pastor didn't baptize him and Jesus them how he talked bad, very rude to the pastor. They would not want you to come and preach for them, be their pastor. So leave on good terms and find a pastor who would baptize you in the name of Jesus. You understand? And then after you get baptized, ask God to lead you to a church or facility where the people are preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ. And then once you get there, get yourself into the ministry and part doing ministry. You know, don't be a spectator, because a lot of people are just spectators. That's all they do. They just go and sit down, hear a word, and go back home. You don't have to be the preacher, but you have to be a participator. Do something. You hear me share it all the time. I don't share it with no boastfulness. When I first got into the ministry, the Lord knows I was cleaning the church. I was running the vacuum. And everybody know, at that time I had a small business, you know, small business back in Virginia. And I would come in and go to the church, get the vacuum, and run through, line up the chairs. You know, they had the nice velour chairs. Line the chairs up, make the chairs look good, uniform. Then I take the special spray they had to clean the fiberglass podium. No way, the preacher put the Bible, and I would go there and wipe that down, and that you could look at and see your face shining in there like a glass, like a mirror. Why? Because it was God's house I was cleaning. Wasn't the preacher. And, oh, that's his ministry. If the preacher come up there and that thing and look all dirty, what do you think this is? When people come into the house of the Lord, say, man, this church is dirty. You know, they don't want to tell you that. But that's what they're saying in their heart. This church building is dirty, man. And they don't even clean. They don't even vacuum the place. Look at the podium. Look at the way the pastor put the Bible up there, man. You can see all the dirt, the scum thing all over the podium, no? But that's God's house. So you go in there and take up a position. Say, look, pastor, I want to work. I want to do something. And the pastor may ask you what you want to do. Man, you don't know too much about church facility yet, so you say, pastor, what's available? What can I do? The pastor might say, do you want to be an usher? You may not know what usher is. It just means that you're a greeter. You're at the front door. You're a gatekeeper. I always loved to be a gatekeeper. I did that a couple of times, man. I was excited. And what you do is you're greeting people that come to the door. So, and after you get into you're doing that, you will see that you begin to grow. Because now you're not just a spectator, but you're a participator. You participate in what God is doing. So now you're born again. You're working in the kingdom. And God is blessing you. But study the word of God. Like Timothy, Paul said in Timothy, study that word. You got to study. Every day study. Find time to be with God. If you find time to be with God, God will be with you. He'll be with you. You know, I always say seeming is natural, seeming is pure. You find time, if you're married, you find time to be with your wife or with your husband. Guess what happened? Your husband going to be one with you. Your wife going to be one with you. You know, you hear me say sometime, I tell Apostle I'll be talking to her and Bishop, because Travis usually talk sometime on the phone. Not all the time, because Wednesday, I know they're busy. We text more than we talk, you know, on the phone. We text her, because I check on Bishop a lot, just like he check on me with my heart and stuff like that, you know. Heart is doing good, though. But he check on me, especially when I go to the doctor. We check on each other. That's what you're supposed to do, you know. And you get yourself connected, man. I tell you, your life will never be the same. So I thank God for all you all that received the gift of salvation today and those that will receive later. Because this is going on in a little bit, we're going to put it on. You know, we have to be very careful because now the leftist is checking everything that you do on Facebook. Everything that you say, they're checking, they're monitoring you. That's what I'm trying to say, you know, because Satan is busy. You understand? He's busy, and he's trying to shut down. I listened to a preacher last night. That's about 5 minutes I heard him, and he says that same thing. He said he got to be very careful. He said because he put some two different preachers. He said he put a couple of things on the site that would help people, but they didn't agree with it, and he said they'd take it down. You know, because that's their site. They're making money off of that. The commercials that they run, but if you say anything in it, not in vulgar, but you're speaking truth, they don't want you to speak truth. People can get on there and tell lies, and they don't trouble it. But when you're speaking truth, they will remove your tag, they remove your post. So he said you gotta be careful, especially when you say something about the leftists. But we thank God for you all that received the gift of salvation. Those that would receive later, pray for your brothers, pray for your sisters, pray for the government, because we are heading down a very dangerous path. I heard the talking yesterday about how Ukraine and Russia and the United States are talking about nuclear weapons. They're talking about shooting off this and shooting off that. You know, like they can just pour out a little gasoline and it's going down and burn the rabbit out the hole. Nuclear weapons don't do like that. That stuff that for miles and miles and miles, if you shoot off anything, people are going to die. Animals, birds, everything that moves going to die for miles and miles. But they're playing with the lives of people. These people that are supposed to be in position, because they say that they can go away and they can go and stay in a bunker for X amount of time. So how do they know if they get out of the bunker? How long they're estimating? They're not sure that how long the fumes or the poison from the nuclear going to stay in the atmosphere. They're just guessing. They're just guessing that it's only going to stay for a short time. But what if they're wrong? And they go in their bunkers and they think, well, we kill all these people so we can come out now and the atmosphere is free. And when they come out there, the atmosphere is still contaminated. What will happen to them? Their eyes are going to blow out. You know, their town, all their intestines, everything, because that's what nuclear does there. Eyes are blowing out. You hear what I'm saying? But they want to play with God. They want to play with God. I thank God for you all coming on today and hearing this word. I am going to just shut my mouth. Anybody want to respond, you can. Put the phone on the mute for a little bit. See if anybody wants to respond. And so the line is open.
close up. Father, we thank you and praise you for this word. We thank you for those that came on and heard the word. Thank you for Apostle Stewart and Deacon Fraser. And Lord, as we leave this line but not your presence, we pray that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go, Father. We pray, Father God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath. Oh, God, we pray right now that you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh, God. Father, we are praying for blessings to come so that we can be a blessing, Lord. That's all we want to do. We want to be a blessing. We want to bless those that are less fortunate than us. We want to bless the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless. Oh, God, Lord, let finances come. Let jobs come that we are able to help some more people. Our God and Father, we be so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them. You love them. And Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you use today, that you speak today in somebody's ear, that will make all the difference in their life. We may stop, have someone to not to commit suicide, to kidnap a child, sodomize a child, rape a child. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed and safe day today. We will talk to you later. I'm going off the air right now and get some rest. I'll pick up my granddaughter tonight from her job. God bless you all. Have a safe day. In Jesus' holy name. Bye-bye. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never will be. This is how you move, huh? And this is how you move.
What?
And this is how you do it. This is how you do it. This is how it is. This is how I. This is how you groove?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what you're talking about.
What's on your shirt?
This is how I roll.
Oh,
roll. Dreidel.
It's the same thing.
You play dreidel.
How you roll? I want to know how you roll.
You roll the dreidel. Next year's bills in the first month. Fresh. Good. Right, middle girl?
Oh, honey. I'm laying up on the bed. All right.